Morning.
Morning. I like that.
Psalms 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy a safe pasture. Quite a few years ago, up in Cochran Hills, had an opportunity to listen to an old logger by the name of Wally. Never got his last name. But he told me about the story about his grandmother. She'd been physically, sexually abused all her life. She had with her her eight-year-old granddaughter. Everywhere that they went, she kept hold of the granddaughter's hand because she figured that if she did that, she'd be able to keep her from the punishment, the abuse, the shame. There was one year where she got up enough money to where she could send her granddaughter to Cochran Hills. They got on the boat in Tannehill. Rode down the Yukon River, still holding their granddaughter's hand. They got to the camp, walked up the hill. The grandmother took a look around, and she let go. She said, "You go have a good time, listen to the word, trust in God. I'll be back to pick you up in a week. This is a safe place." We have a lot of safe places in this world. Unfortunately, they're only temporary. They're only here as long as we're alive. But in Proverbs 18:10, it says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." We have that opportunity. We can be safe. We can be loved. John 14:2-3. "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." He's coming for us. He wants us to be safe. Just like the people that was here serving the armed forces. They kept us safe. In Psalm 4:8, "I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety."
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the place of safety, the place of refuge that you have called us to. We thank you for that you by our faith and trust in Christ, you have immersed us into the body of Christ in a safe place as we love one another, serve one another, bless one another, worship you together with one voice, one heart, one spirit. Father, as we worship you, we give you thanks, even as we thank you for the picture of the body of Christ, and even as we use this bread to symbolize the body, his body as he willingly gave, put himself in harm's way on our behalf, for our sake, in our place. We ask, Lord, as we consider these things, we ask that you would bless our hearts and deepen these powerful truths into our spirit.
Last week we took a little break from Ephesians and went to Acts 1 and looked at the 10 days between the ascension of Christ and the day of Pentecost. And we looked at some of those things that the disciples did. The 120 gathered in the upper room, commanded, as Jesus commanded them, to stay and wait in Jerusalem until a few days. And we looked at what they did, because last Sunday was 10 days before, just coincidence, it was 10 days before Election Day, and kind of the things that we can be doing during those times. We saw how they kept their eyes on Jesus and did the simple things, the right things, continue to do, though they didn't know, can't imagine what they were, what was going on, and not only in their mind, as Joe prayed in that upper room, the night Jesus was betrayed, but to imagine what was going through their minds as just after they watched Jesus ascend into heaven. But they kept their eyes on him. They kept doing the simple things, the right things. They were continued in prayer, steadfast in prayer, and they trusted God in the whole process. They were in the Word of God. They were studying the Scriptures and obeying what they read. And so those are good principles for us, in not only in these 10 days, but in any day, for us to continue our, no matter what is going on, to keep our eyes on Jesus and to keep doing those simple things, being intentional in our devotions, being consistent in our worship, being proportional in our giving, and very deliberate in our serving our great God. Before we look at our text, just some shake off the world, shake off our week. We have announcements, prayer requests this morning, praise reports. Amen. We're in Ephesians chapter 5. Paul's discussion, as we're continuing down through, began in chapter 4, verse 1, to walk worthy. This is the subject. That's what he's been outlining for us, and how do we walk worthy of the calling, of God's calling on our life. And we are to walk in unity. We're to walk in the truth, who is the truth which is in Jesus, and out of our relationship with Christ, to walk in the light. We're to walk in maturity. We're to walk together as the body of Christ, every joint doing its part, and we function effectively and efficiently as the body of Christ. We're to walk in the light. We're to walk aware, and Paul starts pointing out to us, using the law, pointing out to us of the error that's in our life. He said the law points out to us what's wrong, or what's missing, or what needs to be fixed. Paul himself, in one of his letters, said, "I didn't know I was covetous until the law said, 'Don't be covetous.'" He says here in Ephesians 4, "Stop lying." No, lying was not good, but stop lying. Tell the truth. Speak the truth in love. I didn't know that stealing was bad, but we're not supposed to steal. We're supposed to work with our hands so that we would have something to give to others. I didn't know that my words were cutting. My words were offensive. My words were coarse, until the law says, "Don't talk like that. Be kind, tender-hearted, loving, caring, showing mercy and compassion to one another, forgiving one another, just as you've been forgiven." Paul says, "Walk in the light. Don't walk in the darkness." The Gentiles, those are apart from God, are walking in the darkness, for men love darkness rather than light. We don't walk there anymore. We walk over here. We walk in the light, and the light of the Word of God, the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ. So he's taking us down through this walking worthy. and how we are to walk in love, walk in light, walk in maturity, walk together, walk in wisdom. He starts in verse 15, and we've looked at the last few verses a couple of weeks ago before we stepped aside to Acts 1 last week. 15, see that you walk circumspectly, that is carefully. Watch your step. He just told us about who we shouldn't be walking with them, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, verse 11. Verse 10, find out what is acceptable to the Lord in our walk. For it's shameful, verse 12, that we are to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But in all things, verse 13, that are exposed and made manifest by the light, and whatever makes manifest is light. So awake. Wake up, you asleep. Arise from the dead. And I think we find ourselves being dragged into this, into the darkness, dragged down by our old habits. And to be able to, by the Spirit, recognize that we're being dragged down is to get up. Rise up. Awake, you asleep. Rise up from the dead. It's Christ who will give you light. See that you walk carefully, circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, buying back the time, making the most of every opportunity, because these days are evil. Understand, stop being foolish. Therefore, do not be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And then our verse this morning, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting one to another in the fear of God. We'll stop right there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that does teach us and instructs us, your word that is alive and active and powerful and sharp, sharper than a two-edged sword, that brings about the judgment, but also to cut through and provide grace to those who would hear. Oh Lord, may the church hear the words of the Spirit. Father, we ask, God, that as we consider your word today, that it does, as it transforms us, as it renews our minds, as it corrects our thinking, as it challenges our thinking, as it trains us to honor and glorify you in all things, whether in word or deed. We ask, Lord, your blessing upon our time this morning considering these things, in Jesus' name, amen. Johann, it's a he, Hari, wrote a book, New York Times best-selling book, Chasing the Scream, The First and the Last Days of the War on Drugs. Because part of Paul's discussion here is not necessarily a progression, but a degression from habits, simple habits of the old man, lying and stealing, coarse words, offensive words, to the deeper things, to the deeper habits of the old man, the walking in darkness. To the deeper things of the habits, to addictions. Don't be drunk with wine. So there seems to be a degression here in Paul's digging deeper into the dark secret places of our soul. When we gave our life to Christ, we presented our bodies as living sacrifices. Here you are, but we like to hang on to those dear places, those dark places, those closets that we don't want anybody to look at, we don't want anybody to know about, because we're the only one that's got that dark closet, right? So sin will tend to us to hide. Sin tends to us to isolate, to be isolated. Sin tends for us to be angry, angry at God. That woman that you gave me, it's your fault, Adam said. So in this, Joanne Hari gives a TED Talk. If you're familiar with TED Talks, he is exploring a bit of, he's doing some research, and there's some research recently on rats. Not that there's research recently on rats, there's been research on rats. But they're doing this particular set of research on rats. They put a rat in a cage, and they put two bowls of water. One of them was significantly laced with heroin, and the other was clean, pure, refreshing water. The rat in the cage, guess which water he took? The heroin. So they're like 100% of the time. And the rat would continue to take it to the point of overdose, to the point of death. So it's just those who are doing the research thought that was interesting, 100% of the time. So what they did, they decided what they would do, and what they did is they built onto the cage like apartments, like other sections, like, and then put other rats in the cage. So there was community, and there was interaction. And they put the same two bowls of water. Guess which water the rats went to? Once in a while, they went to the heroin one, but primarily, they drank from the clean water. So there's the observation. So now what? So they're working on, and they're considering that really everything that we've learned about addictions and everything we've been trying to do for the last 50 years with addictions is wrong. With addictions, we throw them into rehab. We get them to change. We get them to turn their life around, turn over a new leaf. But the same problem is still there. Problem with sin. Hari says that if what we believe about addiction is right, he challenged the belief that addictions are caused by chemical hooks, saying that patients who receive painkillers after medical procedures have no issue getting off drugs, largely disprove that theory. If what we believe about addiction is right, if those people are exposed to all the chemical hooks, what should happen? They should all become addicts. But it doesn't happen. So he believes, is in working on the concept that the cause of addiction, be it drug addiction or gambling addiction or even addiction to your mobile device. You know, there's new addictions out there today. It's called Facebook. Whatever your addiction is, the cause of the addiction is the lack of human connection. Quote, human beings have a natural innate need to bond. And when we're happy and healthy, we'll bond and connect with each other. Just hang a sign out that says dumpling party and see what happens. That was parentheses. That wasn't in the quote. Continuing the quote, but if you can't do that because you're traumatized or isolated or beaten down by life, you will bond with something that will give you some sense of relief. Now that might be gambling, it might be pornography, that might be cocaine. It might be cannabis, but you will bond. You will connect with something because that's our nature. That's what we want as human beings, to connect. Quote, for 100 years now, we've been singing the war songs. We've been singing war songs about addicts. Hari says, I think all along we should have been singing love songs to them. Because the opposite of addiction is not sobriety. The object of addiction is connection. Isn't that interesting? We get to verse 18, Ephesians 5:18. Paul says, don't be drunk with wine. Notice he doesn't say don't drink wine. He says don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, just some observations about this verse. Is that the command, there's two commands. One is negative and one is positive. The first command is don't be drunk with wine. Don't be drunk. Don't be under the influence. Whatever, don't be under the influence in an addictive situation. Don't be under the influence of gambling. Don't be under the influence of pornography. Don't be under the influence of Facebook. Don't be under the influence of wine. The other, that's the negative, don't be. The positive command is be continually kept being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's interesting, they're both present tense verbs, they're both passive, and they're both commands, imperatives. One's negative and one's positive. Don't be. Pretty simple, isn't it? It's interesting, don't be drunk with wine, which is excess, or which is dissipation. It's the word, it comes from, what's interesting about that word is it comes from the word that means to save. It's just got an A in the front of it in the Greek, which makes it negative. It's the same word to save, which is access, which is, in other words, what access, what addictions, what to access, which that word also carries with it, not only to access, excess, E-X, which is deeper, more, but it carries with it the idea of excess to excessive. I mean, what it means is that you start down this rabbit hole and it will suck you in. You start down this downward spiral and into darkness and it will drag you into that. It will drag you into that. It's passive. It happens to you. Which isn't that the definition of addictions? Paul, through this whole thing, is pointing out our habits, our bad habits, the habits of the old man, and says now we need to put on the habits of the new man. So the habits of the old man, it continues, it goes, leads to excessive, it leads to addictions, it leads to destruction, the opposite of salvation. To save, not... access, to make whole, not, to heal, not, to be whole, not, excess, dissipation. It's also, it's translated excess, it can be translated riot, chaos, confusion. It's interesting that Paul in this discussion, he said, don't be have fellowship with the darkness or the unfruitful works of darkness. Peter uses it in 1 Peter chapter 4. If you want to just look at there quickly, just a few pages ahead, you'll find 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. For we have spent enough of our time, enough of our past lifetime. We've had enough in doing the will of Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, in lust, in drunkenness, in rivalry, partying, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. We've had enough of it in regard to those. They think it strange that you don't run with them any longer, don't they? Have you ever lost a friend when you came to Christ? You used to hang out with and used to be pals with, and now he won't have nothing to do with you because of Jesus? I've had that experience in my past to this day. 35 years. You don't want nothing to do with me. The guy was in my wedding. They don't want anything to do with it. They think it's strange that you don't run with them any longer in the same flood of dissipation. In the same flood of excess. In the same flood of riotousness. Even to the point where they'll speak evil of you. Don't think it's strange. In other words, it's a good thing. Rejoice in these sufferings. Rejoice when they say all manner of evil against you falsely. Happy are you. Paul says, don't be drunk with wine. Don't be under the influence of these bad habits, of these addictions that lead to destruction. These things that diminish or take away from your ability to think straight, your self-control, judgment, your balance. The first things you see of a drunk is out of balance. This is where this leads. These are where these habits lead. The destructive qualities of these things. The unsavedness of these things. Debauchery. Don't think it's strange. Paul says, don't. Do not be under the influence of anything, but be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So we are to put away these destructive and disturbing influences. We are to put away this the influence of the world. Present, Paul say in Romans, present your bodies as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable unto God. It's reasonable, our worship. It's a reasonable response for all the grace that God pours out into our life by coming to Christ and knowing Him as Lord and Savior. The grace, the amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. I was lost. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So Paul is offering us salvation. He's offering us the positive side of the word to save, be filled. And they're both present, so it's content. Don't be under the continued influence of the world, but be under the continued influence of the Spirit. You're going to be driven by something. You're going to be somebody's fool. We might as well be a fool for Jesus, would be one way to put it. Either walking according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, according to the God of this age, or we're going to walk according to the God of the ages. And their commands. Present commands, continuing, being continual. It's a continuous. Be continually kept being filled with the Holy Spirit. Continually kept being under His influence. How do we get under the influence of the Spirit? We'll keep our eyes on Jesus. We go back to last week's message. You stay in the Word. You gather together to encourage one another, the community, the connectedness of community, of the body of Christ, with the life of Christ flowing through us, connecting us. being kept continually, kept being filled, moment by moment, controlled, not controlled by the addictions or the access or the bad habits, the old man, but being controlled under the influence of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It's our choice to be under the influence of the unholy Spirit or the Holy Spirit. And Paul uses the law to knock down all those chips and all those edges, those chips on our shoulder and all those edges, all those pieces that look like the old man. He gets rid of all that stuff. Stop lying. Stop stealing. Just clean up your talk. Don't walk with them. Clean up your walk and get all those things away that don't look like Christ. To fill up. To cause to abound under the influence of the Holy Spirit, to furnish, to supply liberally, to flood His control over us. Presenting ourselves, the fellowship of the Spirit, emptying ourselves of the flesh, and sometimes the chipping off those edges hurts. Doesn't it? The path to purity is painful. You got to chip off all those things that don't look like Christ. There's a lot of stuff in me that doesn't look like Christ, and it's painful, and sometimes it's very painful. Sometimes if you feel the emptiness of the world, you feel the emptiness of the self, and you come to Him, you become broken, and that's right where He wants us. Broken. Against You, Lord, have I sinned. You and You alone, Psalm 51. Purge me, examine me, cleanse me, create in me a clean heart. Those chips, those pieces have gotta break off, and when those pieces break off, it looks like a broken vessel. It has a lot of cracks in it, doesn't it? Has a lot of cracks in it in a broken vessel. When we come to God broken, as the law beats us up, as the word beats us up, as the word transforms us, we have all these cracks in us, all these pieces, all these holes in it, for the self to empty out. The self has gotta go. It's not about self-preservation and self-reliance and selfishness. And the self has got to go. You must deny yourself, Jesus says, and take up your cross daily. But when the self has places to empty out, as the law knocks these chips in us, knocks these holes in us, and the self has a place to empty out, the Spirit has a place to fill. Cup is only so big, and it can only fit so much. And if you've got so much of self in that cup, you haven't got room for the Spirit. The self's got to go to be filled up with the Spirit. What does filling up with the Spirit looks like? Well, we start speaking together in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We learn a lot in Colossians. Paul says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly," and the same results. Verse 19, speaking to one another and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There's a distinction in our singing. The psalms, this book of Psalms, are songs. Literally, it means the songs singing with instruments, but it says they're songs of the cry of the heart. To You, O Lord, I lift my voice. To You, O Lord, I trust. We sing psalms. As a deer pants for water, so my soul pants for You. We sing hymns. Hymns are the truths, the body of truth of who God is and all that God is that we sing and we present as our worship to Him. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. The one who was and is to come. Praise be Your name. Our hymns are the singing of the body of that body of truth the reality of the very presence of God, God who created all that there is out of nothing, created it for and fashioned even this day for us. We sing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's just I'd rather have Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Are they just the testimonies of a life in Christ? We sing these songs, but it's just not only a song service, it's a melody that we sing to one another. Sing your song to one another. We have a song. Each one of us has a song. Is it a song that is directed towards God? Is it a song that is directed towards me? What song are you singing? You're an influence to the world. Are you an influence towards Christ? Are you an influence to yourself? Speaking together in psalms and hymns. So walking in the Spirit, it leads to worship. Walking in the light leads to life. Walking in the Spirit leads to worship, songs, giving thanks. These are all present participles, and it's a giving of thanks, and a keep on giving of thanks, a making melody and keep on making melody, a giving thanks and keep on submitting and keep on submitting to one another. Giving thanks. You want to kick your worship up a notch? Give thanks always for some things. Give thanks sometimes for the good things. No. You want to kick your worship up a notch? Give thanks always for all things. This is what filled with the Spirit is. This is what filled with the Spirit does. This is what putting on the new man, putting the old habits, the old addictions, putting them away. Those things must be killed. We mortify the deeds of the body, that we may be filled with the Spirit, giving thanks, giving praise. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The opposite of addiction is not sobriety. Opposite of addiction is connection. Connection with Christ as our Lord and Savior. And when we connect to Christ, we are immersed into the body of Christ and have connection with one another. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Oh God, this is your grace. This is your allowing us, giving us, God, the opportunity to put the things in the past where they belong in the past. We need to learn how to put our behind where it belongs in the past. And turn to you. And keep our eyes on you. Learn of you. Learn of these things that are true and lovely and honest. Speaking to one another. Giving thanks. Submitting to one another. The fellowship of the Spirit. God, may it be our prayer as John gave thanks for truly that our fellowship would be one and sweet and beautiful and joyous, because our fellowship is with you. Father, have us to not be afraid of the cracks, the brokenness, of the pain of brokenness, the suffering of brokenness, the trials of brokenness, of facing our own sin and facing our own shortness. Our own the qualities in us that are not worthy of saving, they've got to go. And your Holy Spirit to have the courage to give Him permission. Oh Lord, search me and try me. See if there's any wicked way in me. And then when you show it to us, Lord, that we would be quick to confess it, to agree with you that it's sin, that it's got to go, that you may cleanse us and keep on cleansing us from all unrighteousness. And understanding, God, give to us the endurance, the patience, the understanding that this is a process that will last this till this side of heaven. But it's a process that honors you and finds its worth in you, in who you are, and all that you are to us. Fill us, O Lord, our attention, that we may be conscious of Christ, conscious of his word, swimming in our minds and our hearts, as he would lead us, as he would fill us, as he would use us for your good pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen.